You're listening to the Legacy Church podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Good morning. That's just a little dramatic effect there. Good to see you. Welcome to Legacy. So good to be here. If I haven't met you, I'm Gary, lead pastor here, and we're just excited about all that God's doing and that you would share this day. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful one with us. And how many appreciating that coffee cart out there in the front? I think that's four of you. Okay. So, but we really, and I know you do, but thanks for those that are serving, making that happen. That Connect tent is a great place to be. I look literally on the Summer Connect. I've got like foursomes that I'm scheduled out, and you could jump in there. It's actually for the guys. Sorry, ladies. Maybe there's one of the ladies that would start a group for golfing, huh? But now my particular group, the golf is paid. It's 18 holes, including cart, and it's not filled yet. I don't even get that. I would like if I could. Anyway, so sign up. Love to see you. Love to get out there. And it's not pretty. Let me just tell you, the game is my golf game. It ain't pretty. And Brad would attest to that. But I have a lot of fun. I get my money's worth. Let's just put it that way. All right? So we're in a new series, Above the Noise, Hearing the Voice That Matters Most. And I started thinking about noise. Maybe you're like me. When I've got to do some light work, I like to go work in public spaces. And is anybody like me? You like to like take your laptop, just go sit in a coffee shop somewhere. There's a couple of really cool spots in Spokane and over in Coeur d'Alene just around. And so I like to do that. But when I have to focus, like when I have to study, and I'm like digging into the word for this weekend or any weekend for that matter, and I got to focus, I realize I can't be focusing on like Proverbs or any of the Word of God and Michael Bublé in the background. You're a moon star. I'm like, I can't. My mind starts to just drift, right? Diana Krall over here, listening, or somebody oversharing at the table next, and they're a little bit loud, and now I'm listening to as I'm working on, and I'm worried about how they're going to work this out. So I went on a hunt. I went on a hunt for some good, not just the white cheap, Apple headphones that you get with your iPhone. I needed something a little bit more substantial. So I began to go on a search for the over-the-ears, I'm talking serious, over-the-ears headphones, like so I could, and they had to have that feature, you know what feature I'm talking about, noise cancellation. Have you ever put those noise cancellation headphones on? They're amazing. Everything becomes like, like you can be on a flight, put those on, like, the plane, all of a sudden, they're amazing. I'm not kidding. I'm not overreacting. I find that the Sony ones are the best out there. I'm just saying. I'm not getting any royalties off saying that, but that's what I found. And I put those things on, and it's just amazing. I can sit and I can focus. And sometimes I have to put a little like instrumental music just playing lightly in there just because somebody's oversharing like more loud than they should. But it works. It's amazing. The only downside of having noise canceling headphones on is they send a clarion message to anybody in the coffee shop. What message are those headphones saying on your head? Don't bother me, man. Leave me alone, right? Put those on, and everybody's like, okay, fine. So not only do they block out unwanted noise, so it's just a good thing. I was putting some thought, maybe more thought than I should have, on that. That maybe we ought to, as it relates to where we're going in this series, Above the Noise, I wonder if in our Christian life, we ought to figure out a way to, spiritually speaking, put some noise cancellation type headphones on our person to block out the many noises, the many voices that want to really clamor for our attention and our time. I was recalling just growing up, having grown up in church life since I was a young boy, I remember being drilled into our thinking. My youth pastor would say it a lot, and I've heard it many times since, that the most important thing in your life, Gary, is your relationship with Jesus. Everything else flows from that. Everything else flows from that. Maybe you're here and maybe that's not true in your life. Maybe you're on the front end of your journey of faith. You're sort of kicking the tires. You're kind of testing Christianity out and seeing or checking the church out and like, what's up with this? And is this really something I need? Here's what I've discovered, that those words from my youth pastor are absolutely true today. The most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus, and everything flows from that. And if that's true, and if that's true in your life, then this is also true, that his voice, what he's saying, is the voice that I have to hear the loudest in my life every day. Every day. Hearing the voice that matters most. And our focus in this series are to discover key ways over the next 6 weeks or so. Key ways that the Lord speaks to his people throughout Scripture, and how does that flesh out today? You might be wondering in your mind, like, is God speaking today? Is that really happening? And the answer is yes. The short answer is yes. In fact, Mark Batterson writes in his book entitled Whisper, he calls them languages, love languages from God. And it may surprise you to know that he's speaking. God is speaking, and not necessarily the booming voice that we hear or we think that we might hear behind the cloud somehow. You know, like, what are you doing now? You know, I mean, it's not a booming voice. Often, in fact, let me just tell you flat out, I've never heard the booming voice. But it's practical. There are practical, tangible ways that God is speaking. And let me give you these just quickly, and we'll talk about them in the weeks ahead. Scripture, desires. The passage comes to mind, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But you have to align with delighting yourself, and we'll unpack that one together. Doors, dreams, people, promptings. And you know, God speaks through pain, through circumstances, things that are going on in your life right now. I want you to know that God is speaking. And there are rivals to hearing God's voice. There are things, there's a lot of noisy stuff that, again, clamors for our attention. Some of those would include busyness. We just stay busy, keep busy. Sometimes we like to stay busy because we don't like to get in our thoughts, right? We don't like to sit and have too much downtime so we just stay busy. We keep doing stuff and we stay busy. What about social media? Social media, and these are not, again, these aren't bad things. I'm not saying these are sinful and you better stop. I'm not saying that. These are things that, again, clamor for our attention. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, right? I mean, we just are constantly checking, what's the world saying, right? Who's liking what? It's out there. What about in some downtime, how many of you appreciate a good Netflix like binge from time to time? Somebody, yeah, I just got to get me some Netflix. I got some downtime. And there we go. Podcasts, a lot of people talking. Podcasts, woo, people talking, right? They're like, put a microphone. It's interesting, even like with Instagram. Everybody's a model now. Isn't it wild? Everybody's a model. Selfie, this outfit of the day, whatever, TD, you know. Hey, everybody's a model. Everybody's got something to say. Just give me a microphone. I'm going to start talking. And then they start talking. Because we can throw it all out on the air. The airwaves. I don't think they called it that anymore. Anyways. What about Spotify? I love Spotify. I love me some Spotify. Somebody's like, what's Spotify? Well, it's a music app. And I like to just get in my car, and I like to, sometimes it's just a song will come to my mind out of nowhere, and I'll say, hey, Siri, play, and then whatever the song is. With Spotify, you don't just get the song. With Spotify, I could say, hey, Siri, play some 70s pop. And I don't care if the drive is 5 hours or 5 minutes, man. I'm going to get some 70s pop right now, you know. Have you heard? I'm sorry. Anyway. And you just start. There it goes. Take you right down. And here's the problem with it. Here's the problem. The problem is, and you kind of have to discern kind of what mood. Am I in mood for Elevation or Bethel or Hillsong or 70s pop, whatever it might be, but jazz. But the point is, there's gaps, and we just fill them with stuff. Here's some space. I got a 10-minute drive. I got a 5-minute drive. Fill it with stuff, right? Put something on, and there it goes. News. What about news? News, 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 news. Maybe you're like me. You keep your phone on the nightstand, and, you know, in the early morning, you don't know what time it is. So you reach for the phone, right? And swipe right, and you get your news feed for the day, everything that's going on, what you need to know, right? 5 things you need to know on Wednesday, or, you know, whatever the day is, you know, just, there it is. Like, I need, well, this tells me I need to know this, so I better know this, and there you go, just in. You're in. You're in the day. You're in the moment. You're dialed in, and you're the stories of the day, the gossip, what's going on in other people's business, and why does Meghan Markle like the president? I don't know. Why is she making those comments? I don't know. What about the demise of Theresa May? We got to know about that. A scandal, story, pop culture, so appealing, so alluring, so loud. It's all so loud. And so if you maybe feel like you don't fit in that, then here's a good little self-test. Ask yourself these questions. What do you give your attention to first thing in the morning? Ask yourself. What do you give your attention to first thing in the morning? Or what do you give your attention to last thing at night? Before you just call it a day, call it a night. You know, what's the last thing you give your attention? What consumes the passions of your heart throughout the day? What are you just thinking about constantly, incessantly? And you know, what's just driving you? What about during your downtime? What are your rhythms or your routines? What's getting most of your attention? What's the loudest voice in the majority of your day? A mom might say, my 3-year-old. You know, I mean, what is the loudest voice in the majority of your day? And my hope is that in this series we can discern with the sort of spiritual noise-canceling headphones, discern what I can block out and what I need to embrace and what I need to listen to. I want to challenge you to better position yourself over the next few weeks to hear His voice. Hear His voice. This is huge. This is so huge. The prophets in the Bible, the Old Testament prophets, they needed to know how to hear God's voice. They needed to know how to hear God's voice because they were supposed to communicate the heart of God to the people around them. Thus says the Lord. Well, if you're going to say thus says the Lord, you better know what He's saying, right? You better have heard from Him. So they had to learn to listen for His voice. And one of my favorite accounts is when Eli and Samuel was brought to Shiloh, or as they say, Shiloh. And he was there in the temple learning how to be a prophet.
He was just a young boy, and he was woken up in the middle of the night and hearing somebody call his name, Samuel. And he would get up, and he'd walk into Eli's room. Yeah, you called me. And Eli said, no, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. Three times this happened. The third time, Samuel gets up again. He walks into Samuel. Yeah, what is it, man? He walks into Eli's room. Eli realizes what's going on here. God's speaking to him. God's training the young boy. And he says to young Samuel, go back, and this time when you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. What a lesson for the young boy. He needed to learn and discern the difference between Eli's voice and God's voice. Prophets needed to understand and hear the difference. It's interesting because Samuel, this would be the same guy. He'd become one of the greatest prophets of all time, right? He was the guy that actually had to select the king, right? The king of Israel. He was a guy that picked David. But Jesse, he was from Jesse's family, had these amazing looking young men, strong, tall. David was a shepherd boy out in the field. He wasn't even in the picture. Watch this. Wasn't even in the picture. And these big, tall, big, burly guys, Jesse's sons were walking by. It's got to be me, man. You know, like, step up. And God was going, you know, the bigger guy. And Samuel, even one of them, like, Samuel, this must be him, man. Look at this. This certainly has got to be the guy. God, and what did God say to Samuel? He said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Which, by the way, is just good dating advice. If any of you are dating and you're thinking about, like, I'm going to find a man for me, you know, like, I'm just saying, that's good. You need to be able to hear the voice of God, because a lot of times we make picks and God's going, eh. But he's so strong, eh. But he's so good, right? I mean, it's good dating advice. Learn how to hear and discern the voice of God. And all the dads said, amen. Dads with daughters. Thank you. Couldn't tee that one up any higher there. All right, Elijah, another prophet, had to learn how to hear God's voice. And the Reader's Digest version of the account is he was on Mount Carmel, man. It was a great move of God, and God consumed the fire. He won. God's prophets won an amazing moment. And Jezebel, the wicked queen, her prophets of Baal. I mean, it's a great account. You need to go back and check it out in 1 Kings 19. But what happened was Jezebel didn't like losing, and so she cast cursed. She cursed Elijah, sent him into depression and fear, and he was running for his life. Ran for his life into a cave, right? Long story short. He's hiding out in a cave. Like, yesterday was the most amazing victory, and then now it's Monday, and he's hiding out in a cave for fear of his life. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice, and God is seeking out his prophet. I love this. He says, Elijah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And Elijah says, well, you know, all of our prophets are dead. All of us guys are dead. All of her, Jezebel's prophets are dead, but they're killing now. Now they're killing ours, and she's coming after me next. And God says to Elijah, 1 Kings 19, 11, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And in fact, the next verse says, and you won't have it on the screen, but it says, when Elijah, get this, when Elijah heard it, when Elijah heard the gentle whisper, it says he pulled his cloak over his face and ran, stood out at the mouth of the cave. Imagine this picture. stood out at the mouth of the cave. And the Lord said in that same voice, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah said, "I'm running for fear of my life." It was a low whisper, a gentle blowing. The New American Standard Bible says, King James says this, a still, small voice. A whisper. A whisper is not, you don't use your vocal cords, do you? You just kind of get wind going through and you shape your mouth to shape the, you can shape words. You can shape. What happens when somebody's whispering, you're in a group of, there's a lot of people, or in the lobby and somebody's talking quietly. When somebody's talking quietly, you tend to do this, don't you? Say that again. When somebody's whispering, it causes you to just draw closer, to draw near. And I wonder if that really represents the heart of God in, not only in this scene with Elijah, but in relationship with us. That he wants us like this, drawing close, putting ear close to the mouth. That's what you do when somebody's whispering. You don't want to miss what they're saying, so you draw. I have a feeling that God wants us to live this way as it relates to our relationship with him. He wasn't in the loud, powerful stuff. He was in the small, still whisper that causes us to lean in. Let me just say this. A prophetic voice, like these guys had to become or were becoming, a prophetic voice starts with a prophetic ear. Like, man, I just want to hear the heart of God. I want to be the voice of God. I just want to speak. And like this gal who came up to Patty years ago, we were in ministry at a church. And she got just really well-meaning, had a heart for God. She came up young and she said, "I just want to speak at conferences to a lot of people, to thousands." And Patty's like, "Okay, that's good. That's a good goal. You want to be a prophetic voice, you better have a prophetic ear. You need to begin to start training your ear to hear what it is God's saying." And we're going to talk about in this series what are the ways that God is speaking so we can start unearthing some of that and applying it into our lives. Many people want to have a voice, but so many have nothing to say. And you might be thinking, "Well, I'm not a prophet, so this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a prophet. I'm not trying to be a pastor. I'm just me, man, and I don't know all this hearing God's, and I'm not trying to." But here's the reality. This becomes critical when I just want to speak the heart of Jesus into my marriage. As the priest of my home, as you are the priest of your home, sir, it becomes important that see, I've been married to Patty for 35, it'll be 35 years in July. And there's not anybody on this planet, God's green earth, that knows me better than that woman right there. And she knows when I'm talking Gary or I'm talking the heart of Jesus. She can discern the difference. Too often I'm talking Gary, but there are those moments when I need to hear of Jesus. I need to hear a solution. We're wrestling. There's a struggle. There's a tangle that we're trying to hear the heart of God for some things that we're walking through, or decisions that we have to make, or when we were raising our kids, what we were going to do and how we were going to train. And what, man, there are times we just have to hear the heart. What's Jesus saying? When your wife looks at you and says, "What's Jesus saying to you?" Now, as grandparents over our grandkids, what do we say to our kids, parents, when they're doubting their faith? When they look at you and say, "What's God saying, Dad? I don't hear God. I don't I don't know that I believe in God anymore, Dad. See, as a pastor, I ask the question, what's he saying about legacy in this season? Where are we at, where we're at, and how we're moving forward? What's he saying? There are a lot of churches doing a lot of things, and we can cut and paste. A lot of things are going on out there. Yeah, oh, they're doing that. Let's try that. Oh, that's growing their church. Let's try that. Let's start a bus ministry. I mean, we can cut and paste a lot. You can get a lot of things going on, but what's Jesus saying? I want to convey the heart of Jesus. We want to convey the heart of Jesus to this fellowship and to this city and to this region. But you got to hear, to have a prophetic voice, you have to have a prophetic ear. You got to be able to hear what it is God's saying. Social media everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's saying stuff. Podcasts, you can just give them a mic and blah, 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 blah. My conviction is I want to be responsive and I want to be responsible. I want from heaven, I want God to feel like he can look at Gary. Let me personalize this. And like he's thinking, you know what, I can lay that on Gary's heart because he's going to do something about it. Gary's listening. He's postured. He's leaning in. He's living his life leaning and looking and listening. That's my goal. That's my desire. Don't always hit it. That's my desire. So I can be entrusted. We can be entrusted with his words as it relates to our marriages. That he can entrust us with his word as it relates to how we're going to respond to our kids or how we're going to reach the community around us or how we're going to deal with the coworkers that we're around every day. And God's whispering and God's prompting and God's speaking. But we've got a swirl of noise. We're in a fun season right now. Well, it's not fun. We're in a new season. We're looking for a house, right? So we're looking for a house, and we've done this. This is not fun, right? I mean, like, it's not a fun, but it's new, right? Here we go. So we, having raised four kids, as we were raising them, we had to find a house with adequate room. Room always became an issue. Like, how many bedrooms? Okay. And are there two spaces? Like, we want a place to hang out, and then we want a place to send the kids to, right? So you want to have your space. You want to have a space to send the kids to. Room was always an issue. And it's an issue now because we're going like, okay, we want to have a space for adults, and then we want to have a place to send all those grandkids to. Man, they got to have another spot and another space. Room. I think the subject of room is something that Jesus is familiar with. If I can spiritualize this for a second, think about when Mary and Joseph came in to Bethlehem. They went to the inn. We know this story well, this account. The innkeeper said what? Ain't no room here. You're going to have to go back around the barn, and there's a spot down there for you to, you know, give birth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no big deal. Room's always been an issue. What about when John the Baptist was baptizing people, preparing? He was saying those words over and over, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make room for him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In essence, he was saying, he deserves, the one who is coming, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie, he deserves a place in your heart. We walked the streets, the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the streets where Jesus would have walked through the old city, Jerusalem, and it's a narrow street, and you just imagine, you're just kind of walking, you see some of the original stone that would have been there. and you're walking down this narrow pathway, and you just imagine people hurling insults, spitting on him, because he would have just gone right down. There just would have been people pressing in the markets. There's people selling stuff. And I imagine the Roman soldiers, this is probably more Passion of the Christ movie. This might be more Mel Gibson than it's what you find in the Bible. But I imagine this probably happened, that as he's coming down that narrow pathway, that people would crowd in and people would want to hit him, or people would push in, and the crowds are crying and weeping, and that the Roman soldiers would have yelled, "Make room, make way, get out of the 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 way, make room, make room." And my heart, when I thought, just imagine that scene going through those streets, that as we enter this series together, that I would want to take that and those words and apply them here to you, not in a shout of anger and frustration, but with all of the grace and sensitivity, yet almost a sense of imploring you. I implore you, make room, make way. That the subject of, or the deficiency of space for Jesus, for the entrance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to enter into the hearts of men, is not just a Christmas message once a year, but it's a daily message. It's a life theme that we ought to live. Make room. When Monday morning the alarm clock goes off, or you wake up just a little bit before it, like I do, like an hour or two before it. Anyways, that at that moment you'd hear, make room, make room, make way. It's a new day. It's a new day. Your future depends on it. Your family depends on it. Future generations depend on it. That if we get caught up in the frantic pace and the noise of culture, we're in danger of missing moments. His divine whisper, he's talking. He's talking. Missing indicators. I don't want to miss indicators, promptings, keys. Some of you need a key. Some of you are like, man, I don't know how to navigate this. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I need a key. Key, Lord, you give wisdom in the night, even as I'm sleeping. Lord, I just give you my thoughts tonight as I'm sleeping. Lord, there are keys. And I'm telling you what, I prayed that way, and there have been mornings I woke up with the answer. Like, I just give you right. I give you editorial rights of my thoughts and my thinking and my sleeping. Lord, any down, I give you room to work and speak. Treasures from heaven, wisdom, answers, insight, opportunities. The problem is, we have, Patty mentioned white noise earlier. We live in an apartment right now, and how many know the best friend of apartment living is white noise as you're sleeping, right? And the beauty of white noise is what makes white noise work is it produces all hearable frequencies that your ears and brain are able to discern at one time. So within reason, you know, like somebody creaks a door, bumps, or, you know, whatever, you know, it saves you. But when you're trying to hear the heart and voice of Jesus, the heart of God, you want to eliminate the white noise. You don't want to be at max capacity. I want to give you this just on our way out of here. There are, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, in fact, they asked him, look at Luke 11:1, they asked him, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we all know, if you know anything of the Bible, you kind of go, this is the Lord's Prayer, yeah. So we're not going to go there today, because Jesus does something. He doesn't just jump right into, okay, here's how you do it. They obviously saw the impact of prayer in his life, and they wanted it, and they were hoping for the results, the same results. And Jesus, it's almost as if he's saying, I'm going to show you an effective prayer pattern. But before I do, here's the climate that prayer works best. Here's the climate. Before we talk about that, Here's the climate where you want to hear. You want this to become more of a dialogue than a monologue of you going into a room and just talking. Let me just set this up for you, Jesus is saying. Gives something of a preamble to prayer. Preamble. Matthew 6, 5. And when you pray, here's Jesus, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Jesus is saying, like, you know, and he spent 30 years growing up in community. He saw the Jewish people. They knew how to pray. They knew how to get out on a street corner, throw a little powder on their face that looked like they were fasting, right? Like they're struggling. And, oh, God, I beseech thee. And look around. Anybody noticing? You know what I'm saying? He said, don't pray like those guys. And I mean, you imagine Jesus walking along and just looking at some of these guys? Like, he said, they just received their reward. What's their reward? They may be seen by others. He says, don't pray like that. It doesn't need to be loud, not loud and demonstrative. He says, it needs to be quiet and private. Matthew 6, 6 says, but when you go, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Another translation says, who is unseen. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is good. It doesn't have to be loud and demonstrative. Just be quiet and private. This is prayer's preamble. Jesus, the King of, he's pulling back the curtain, Legacy, and he's letting you see what prayer God responds to. Are we hearing this? He's peeling back the curtain and says, take a look at what really draws the heart of my Heavenly Father. Do this first. He gives the critical details. Go into your room and shut the door. Find a quiet place and time. Find a corner and a time of day where you will not be distracted and you can hear. Shut the door. Gary, don't put on your Spotify. Even if it's worship, I love worship music and I think there's a place for that. We'll talk about that later. But sometimes you just need to be quiet. Don't need other lyrics going on. Maybe just some instrumental. Just get quiet. Just put on the noise-canceling headphones. And your Father who is in secret, who is unseen, watch. Your Heavenly Father who sees what you do in secret. Your Father, God, sees what you do in secret. He will reward you. And the reward is not just getting everything you want. The reward is His presence, an inner sense of peace that God is with you. That He's with you, and even if He's saying yes, or He's saying wait, or no, or saying nothing at all, He's with you. He will reward you, Jesus says. Blaise Pascal says, the sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his room. We got to keep going, keep stuff happening. Man, I'm a mover shaker. That's how I do it, man. That's how I get stuff done. But we're hollow. Cue up life in the fast lane, right? Let me give you the last one. Less is more. Less is more. Matthew 6, 7, and 8 says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask. It's quiet. Less is more. God, you know what I'm navigating right now. I just want to wait in your presence. Lord, I need your wisdom. And your Father, Jesus, who sees in private, sees in secret, sees what you do in secret, will reward you. He didn't even get to the Lord's Prayer yet. He didn't got there. In fact, the next line says, therefore pray this way. our Father. He said, here's how you set the table for the entrance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's how you set the table. Don't babble on about all you need. Go into your room and shut the door. Don't settle for a life of prayer that's full of you, telling, asking, requesting, giving God a lot of words. God already knows what you need. I want you to go into your room and listen. God knows I need to become a better listener. On the way here to preach this message, 5 minutes it takes me to get here. I got in the truck and I started, hey Siri, what am I doing? I got 5 minutes of downtime. Hey Siri. I just stopped. I said, Lord, I need your heart today. I need your heart. I need your help to communicate this word. God, I need you. I got to learn it. I'm still growing in it. I need to learn how to hear and listen to my wife more intently. I need to be all in, focused. Not just listening to her words, but listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to me concerning her life and taking care of her and nurturing her. God would speak that to me. Lord, it's your daughter. I want to do a better job of taking care of her. God, you know the decisions we have to make. You know where we're at. You know we're in this field and we're working for you. But God, would you just speak? Would you just move? Would you just lead? For legacy, I need to hear your voice, Lord. I want to lean in. What's God saying to you today? That's the question. There's this scripture, and it says this, Be still and know. Be still and know that He is God. So just go in the room, shut the door, and get quiet. And you're going to know something that He's God. He's God. I want them to sing just this chorus to this. Just close your eyes and open your heart for just a moment. We're going to pray and conclude here. The starting point to this relationship with God is just saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to invite you in. I want to give you room. I want to make room for you today. I know what culture's saying. I know what society's saying. Been there, done that. But I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what your plan is for my life. I want your blueprint in my life. So I'm going to give you room today, Lord. With no one looking around, this is a private decision between you and God. You would just say, Pastor Gary, would you include me in that, in your closing prayer? I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I want to make room for Him today. You just put your hand up, put it right back down. Just up, right back down. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Put it right up, right back down. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Would you, not out loud, but just in your heart, pray this prayer with me? Jesus, I make room for you today. Not because of what you can do for me, but because I need you in my life. I desire you to be Lord and Savior. I give you full access. Speak to my heart. Change my life. I yield it to you. I yield it to you. And for anyone that would like me, say, I just want to be a better hearer. I need to hear his voice. Lord, help us to see the difference between the stuff that would try to take and rob us, keep us deficient in hearing from you in the daily. Open up our ears and our hearts. We want to live for you. We want to hear you. Give us a prophetic ear to hear so that we can have a prophetic voice to all the situations around us. In Jesus' name.